Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word and to learn and grow from it. And God, I just pray you would speak to us mightily as we listen to what your spirit says to each one of us, Lord God. Father, go before us. Bless our time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be in Psalm 42 verses 1 to 11 and Psalm 43 verses 1 to 5. And everybody pretty much knows about depression, but there is also a spiritual depression. And this is what we find in these two Psalms. So I titled the message, Overcoming Spiritual Depression. Now this is to the chief musician, a contemplation on the sons of Korah. Psalm 42, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will sing to God my rock. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43, verses 1 to 5. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. In 1965, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, he published a book entitled Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. It became one of the most highly valued and widely circulated books he ever wrote. The only conceivable reason it has been so popular is not that the subject itself is attractive, but that so many people, including Christians, are depressed and looking for solutions. We are all depressed at times. We get down in the dumps. We sing the blues. We feel that God has forgotten us and we will never be able to get on track with God again. It's a condition the old mystics accurately labeled the dark night of the soul. We wonder why it's happening, especially if we are Christians. Irma Bombeck asks in the title of one of her best-selling books, if life is a bowl of cherries, Why am I living in the pits? I love that. Notice through it all, the psalmist says, I shall yet praise him. He's saying what I'm going through right now is not the end of my life's drama. Psalm 42, as well as Psalm 43, are written by the sons of Korah. I'll give you a little bit of background here. The Korahites were Levites who descended through Kohath, Korah's father. We have that in 1 Chronicles 6 and 9, 2 Chronicles 20. They perform the music in the temple. But the interesting thing is, when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, Korah led a rebellion of 250 leaders against Moses and ended up perishing by God's judgment, including the other leaders and their families. It's referenced in Numbers chapter 16 and then in the book of Jude, verse 11. Now, for some reason, the sons of Korah weren't a part of that judgment. But with what had happened, the belief is they dedicated themselves to writing music, to praise God in the wilderness tabernacle, and later in the temple in Jerusalem. So, Psalm 42 and 43 both deal with spiritual depression. Now, there are various reasons for spiritual depression. But along with the reason, I want you to notice that they also indicate the cure. Number one, not able to go to God's temple where God is worshiped. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 2. Now, we don't know who wrote this psalm. The assumption is one of the sons of Korah, and we can see what's bothering him. He's far from home. His home is in Jerusalem. He's far from the temple worship. It made him feel like he was cut off from God. The psalm begins with him panting after God, as a deer pants for the water brooks when he can't find water. He says he's writing from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Hermon is the Mount of Hermon. It's where Jesus was transfigured. So the writer is far from home. It's making him feel that he's far from God. Now, it's not that he doesn't believe God is everywhere or that God is not with him. The problem is being away from home has gotten him down. Being in a depressed state has caused him to feel that God is no longer with him. Now, to understand the scope of this sense of alienation, we need to remember the job of the sons of Korah. What was their job? It was to perform the worship in the temple. So he's being forced away from Jerusalem. And because he's absent from his work, it gives him a sense he's no longer useful. In fact, what he did reflected on his whole purpose for living. It was his life, writing music and leading God's people into worship. It's things like this that can lead to depression for some people. Sometimes old age will do that. It's when a person feels his or her useful days are over. The second reason I see here, the sarcasm, mocking and the insults from unbelievers. Psalm 42, verse 3 and verse 10. Not only was he far from home, he's surrounded by unbelievers who mocked him, saying, "Where is your God? Where is your God?" Now, no doubt that hurt him. No doubt it got to him. How do we know this? He repeats what they're saying twice. Whenever you see anything repeated twice in Scripture, it's confirmation. Back in the day, in ancient times, almost no one was a true-to-life atheist. The first real atheism came with Greek philosophy. So the mocking and the insults didn't mean God didn't exist. It meant God had abandoned this man. Where is your God when you need him? Where is your God now? Why doesn't God hear my cries? Why doesn't God intervene and change my circumstances? Where is he? You ever cry those words out? Third reason, thoughts of better days. Thoughts of better days. Psalm 42:4. Now there is a way of dealing with this in times we are depressed. It's remembering what God had done in the past. It's a great encouragement to believe God will do it again. But that's not the first thing we find here. What we find is the writer remembering the good days. The days he used to go with people to God's house. The days when he led them with shouts of joy and thanksgiving in a praise and worship of Almighty God the Creator. That's what he's remembering, those days of leading worship. Today, for a lot of Christians, some of their best memories are of worshiping with other believers in church, especially at holidays like Christmas or Easter. Not being a part of these times and remembering them can very easily bring depression. The fourth reason I see here, the trials of life can seem so overwhelming. Psalm 42, verse 7. The writer is speaking of the overwhelming trials of his life. Notice how he refers to them. All your waves and billows have gone over me. God, I'm sinking. I'm sinking below this, God. Where are you, God? Now, even though we're not given any indication of what these trials were, we can imagine the tough circumstances that had taken him away from his home and from his work. There in Jerusalem, of writing praise, worship songs, and leading God's people into it. He's seeing the waves of evil fortune breaking over his head. The fifth reason we have here, God failing to act quickly on his behalf. Psalm 42, 9. Verse 9 is a cry to God for having forgotten him. I'm reminded of Jesus crying from the cross in Matthew 27, 46. My God, why have you forsaken me? Spiritual depression. It's just not unusual for a depressed person to feel that God has forsaken him or her. The sixth reason I see here, attacks from the deceitful, wicked, ungodly people. Psalm 43, verse 1. Attacks by wicked enemies who were attacking him unjustly. Why? Because he's praying for vindication. And he's pleading his cause to God. I think every one of us can relate to this. We try to live for God even though we're unjustly accused, even though it seems like we're constantly being attacked. And at times, we're even slandered. Well, let me say this. Don't be surprised. Jesus told us about this in John 15. Verses 19 to 20. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In his book, Spiritual Depression, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones gives some more ways of being depressed spiritually. First of all, temperament. Some people are just more inclined to depression than others. Physical conditions. We can be affected by adverse physical health. This next one is what gets me. A down reaction after a great blessing. An example is Elijah after his great victory with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Another one is the attacks of Satan. Do you know that one of his strategies is to get us to take our eyes off God? And then probably the most significant cause of all spiritual depression is simple unbelief. Unbelief. So how can we overcome spiritual depression? Well, the world turns to false cures. Some try to escape the depressing realities of their lives through divorce. With some, it's excessive entertainment. Or always going on vacations. Some take pills. Others are on habit-forming drugs. But for you and I, as Christians, born-again believers, we're told how we can win over depression. First, we deal with whatever it is and we wrestle through it. The way the psalmist is looking at depression, he doesn't give in to depression. He doesn't give in to self-pity. What's he do? He deals with it head on and he wrestles through it. He reminds himself of what he really knows. That there is no good reason for being down in the dumps when you have a strong and calm hope in God. You know what he's doing here? He's talking to himself rather than allowing circumstances to talk to him. It's the very essence of wisdom in the matter. You talk yourself through it. It's the mind speaking to the emotions rather than emotions dictating to the mind. Secondly, we challenge ourselves to do what should be done. In this battle against depression, challenge yourself to do what the spiritual self knows should be done. You place your hope in God. You place your hope in God. There's no lasting hope in anything else in this sinful world. There never has been, nor will there ever be. Besides, as believers, we've put our trust in God in the past, and God worked it out for us. So guess what? He will do it again. Third, we remind ourselves of something that is certain. This is where faith comes in. To hope in God leads to the final step in battling depression. It's based on the character of the God that we trust. What is it? I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. The scripture couldn't be any clearer. God hasn't changed. You know what that means? It means God's purposes for you and I have not changed either. God has led us into victories in the past. I'm here to tell you God will do so again. So instead of looking at the past as something we lost, we look to the good things yet to come. God is absent, but God is his rock. By the time we come to Psalm 43:2, not only is God his strength, he's praying confidently that God will guide him back to the place of worship and the joys he had in days gone by. It's back to Mount Zion. It's to the temple where God dwells. It's to God's altar before the temple. And finally, it's to God himself. Notice the progression as he considers and talks his way back to where he needs to be. I mean, he nails it in Psalm 43:4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. In closing, the cure for depression is not in us. It's in God. It's to seek His face so we won't be and we won't feel so down and out. After the psalmist lays it out before the Lord, he returns to seeking his God and trusting that God will again bring him through what he's dealing with. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us, God. Many, many people in our day, especially Christians, are feeling depression. The born-again believers are feeling this spiritual depression. And God, the cure is not in us. It's in you, Father. So Lord, I pray that you would go before us. And Lord, that you would help us to talk our way back to you, God, as you lead us and direct us by your Spirit. We love you and we give you all the glory that's due your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.